Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For several years now, WTTW, Channel 11, has hosted a program called Check Please here from Chicago. I understand it has quite wide circulation. Each week, the moderator interviews three men and women who have all visited the same three restaurants. One week it might be Asian fusion, or sometimes Caribbean coladas. Sometimes the restaurants are moderately priced, sometimes exorbitantly expensive, and a little bit repulsive when the chef with his bare hands drops a piece of fish on top of an olive and then cooks it in some sort of liquid nitrogen, and the three bites cost $47, not including drinks. The program should be about food, but often it says more about the guests, especially when they strain to tell you that the duck there is almost as good as they had in Peking. Being interpreted, I'm international. I once went to China. Perhaps they consider themselves connoisseurs, a very small elite group, these people on Channel 11. They think of themselves perhaps as foodies, specialists, connoisseurs. I don't buy that, because I've lived in Chicago for 30 years and I am convinced that Chicago area has millions of people who know the difference between good and bad food. Because Chicago has great bread, the best bread anywhere. Think about it for just a minute. What makes your favorite restaurant? Could be the shrimp, could be the Italian food, could be the pizzas, it could be the Mexican food. But what do you reach for first? You reach for the bread. Might be the fish, the olive sticks at, or the bread sticks at Olive Garden. The thick, heavy, crusted bread over at the Gale Street Inn. Chicago hot dog. The type of bread they use down at Johnny's on North Avenue, where they put the bread, the beef in, and then they dip it into the broth, and it just about makes me sick. It could be bread from Rosner's. It could be pretzel buns, Colombian or Venezuelan arepas. It could be pita bread, flat bread, pizza bread. Bread from Laborios, bread, it's all over Chicago. Bread brings out the best in people. It's that time in which we can be together, breaking bread together. Something about bread. But it also brings out the worst. We had the children of Israel there, out in the wilderness. Even though they were being showered with bread, they were griping because they remembered the flesh pots of Egypt. They remembered something more, and now they had come to Jesus again, this other generation. They had just eaten at the 5,000, and they had enjoyed the bread, and they saw in this person a new hope for bread, a new Messiah, a bread Messiah. Someone would give them those mandatory 1,200 calories a day for women, 1,800 calories a day for men. Give us bread and we will be content. Now, change of scenery. How often over the past 5 or 6 weeks we have not seen film clips of mothers and children in line in Ciudad Juarez, Tijuana, Nuevo Laredo, waiting for food at a church immigration center, giving them out a little they had, a tortilla, a spoonful of beans, a cup of fruit, a slice of bread. And then on our side of the border, at the separation center, the detention center, the bread looks better. The children are separated from their parents, but they have bigger trays. The orange juice is a deeper orange. The tray is a little shinier, it's probably cleaner. The fruit cup is better refrigerated. It is food, it is bread. What more could they want? It's what they need. It's our American answer to the children of Israel of receiving the 5,000, just as long as they have the calories. Doesn't make any difference, as long as they have bread, the calories they need. But take a look at the food trucks on the south side, or the schools that stay open here in the summer. Not necessarily because the teachers want to teach, but to somehow keep the breakfast and lunch programs going so that the thousands of children that would not otherwise get a meal get at least one a day. Here we are in the new Israel. Keep the calories coming. Keep the juice cold. Make sure the milk is pasteurized. That's all they need. That's all they want. Bread is enough. Love doesn't count. If we truck in enough surplus milk and government-issued orange juice, we can forget about bad schools, endemic unemployment, a broader separation of economic classes. We are the new Israel. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." As long as we can eat the fill of the loaves. And it's not just the government or the public in general. We have to ask where we as people of God fit into this. As of yesterday, when I looked for information that either our synod or our district spoke about immigration, the last posting was 2014. We have remained virtually silent these months about the plight of separated children. Synodically issued prayers are studies in pablum, showing neither anger nor despair at injustice or systemic sin. If you were to look at the Reporter or our NID newspaper, you would never get the idea that there are children in separation centers, that there is violence in the streets of Chicago, that there are legitimate questions about deadly use of force. Our publications laud, and rightfully so, goodwill of well-intentioned Christian Lutherans making sure that there is bread. But we have to ask the question, isn't giving bread a repetition of these people racing across the Sea of Galilee searching for more bread? And aren't we content only if we give bread? Isn't there more than bread lines? Now here comes a different answer. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in whom he has sent. And he said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst. So John's gospel and all of the gospels are studies in showing how God's action is for all men and for all who are encompassed between the Alpha and the Omega. We hear Jesus here saying, I am. But if we throw that verb and subject and verb phrase back into the Old Testament, we hear Moses saying, and when I confront the children of Israel, who should I say I'm talking to? And the voice from Jehovah comes, you may say to them, I am who I am. Tell them that the I am has sent you. The I am is the bookend of the Alpha and the Omega. Everything in history is between those two. And therefore, when we hear in John's gospel about the incarnation of Christ, we're hearing about God becoming man in the messiness of our incompetence, in the messiness of our selfishness, in the messiness of being content as long as they have their calories. The error and the sin of Israel of old was to be content with only the bread and not to see it as a sign of God who said, I am the Amen. The sin of the people of old who chased Jesus around the Sea of Galilee was not seeing that the bread was a sign of a life that could be even more fulfilling. And our problem so often today, even as Christians, is to be content with the calorie count. If we give the child bread and a stuffed doll or a stuffed teddy bear, somehow life will be complete. Incarnation is God's action to us in saying that the I am points us to himself, to suffering, to giving, to living for others. Well, how does this play out in human life? As broad as your lives may be, each of us has to find that. But if the incarnate one has entered our world, it is a total entering into the very sinful state of human nature. And that even includes systems. It includes economies. It includes government. Sin is there. And we are called to let the Christ who is the great I am pull us through our lives, through this messy world of local, state, government, and say that there's more to it than just passing out bread, because we have been forgiven in the same Christ who takes us by his arm and pulls us through the world to be more than just people who are shining the silver stainless steel trays. We have to let him pull us through the dirty world of local, state, and national systems. We have to let him move us to care enough to pull us out of the church and into the street to act corporately and individually, as little Christs in the world around us. And as he has died, the church must die for the world. And that's scary. scary. He, the great I Am, is challenging us to let him lead us out of our comfortable way of life to a world that goes way beyond the calorie count. Take and eat. Take and drink. Here is food for the journey. Here is bread for the road. Here is the hand that will lead us through the valleys we fear and the roads uncharted in our different ways of life that will continue to remind us that the I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, everything that encompasses everything in our lives is finally a part way beyond the calorie count. Let's not be content with just the bread line. They're very needed. Let's not be content with just the calories. They're very needed. But let us lead, let him lead us into real living. Amen. May the peace and power of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.